Social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more, has become ubiquitous, so common that people using them do so automatically, rarely stopping to think about any long-term implications. And that's a mistake, warns Richard Gehry, because anything, in fact virtually everything, that gets posted online becomes both public and permanent.
If we're going to take tools designed for instant knowledge and communication, then we should be okay with what we put on those tools being instantly known and instantly shared. And if we're okay with what we're creating becoming public and permanent, we will never create a self-inflicted challenge for ourselves in the digital world. We can't control what everybody around us does, but we can absolutely control what we do and minimize our risks through our own action.
Gehry is a co-founder of the Institute for Responsible Online and Cell Phone Communication. He says not enough attention is being paid to what he calls our digital legacy.
One of the most powerful benefits of technology is it's permanent. So when we see a commercial for Ancestry.com, how amazing would it be if we could go on there today and see our forefathers walking and talking? I mean, that would be incredible. And for the same reason that we crave to know who our forefathers were and where they come from and have them actually speaking to us, our future bloodlines will crave that information about us. The huge difference is they'll be able to see that.
But we won't be able to filter what they see, the embarrassing or worse, along with the good. Because, Gehry cautions, there's really no such thing as permanently deleted.
There are lots of ways to pull things back once we've deleted it. We can always undelete things. It's when humans start abusing technology and start deleting things because they're being abusive and just assume, well, I'll delete it, it'll be gone forever. And then it comes back to haunt them. That's when the permanence becomes a curse.
Likewise, he adds, online privacy is little more than wishful thinking.
Because they set the wrong expectation from day one. They put out what was called privacy settings. What they should have been called is what they really are, transparency settings. Social privacy is completely impossible, and it always will be, because that was the intention of social media, to make things get out. We can't ask the same tool that we love for instant knowledge and instant communication to also give us social privacy. That would be like asking fire to be cold.
Imparting these lessons to social media users, of all ages, is intended to help them think seriously about what they are doing online.
A lot of times you have good people that are making bad decisions, but they're making them blindly because they truly believe that what they're putting into a platform designed for sharing called social media is going to stay private. And then they have to find out the hard way that it's not, in front of the entire planet usually.
Understanding these concepts can also help combat cyberbullying and other forms of online cruelty, Gehry explains, through the realization that the record of such misbehavior will also stick around indefinitely.
The only opinion someone's going to form of us if we're cruel online is that we're not so great. We might be awesome to our friends and our family, but to a billion other people, we just look like a jerk. And all we do when we're cruel online in front of billions of people is ultimately potentially throw up roadblocks for ourselves and our future. There's no upside for us as the person being cruel.
With these concepts in mind, he says, anyone can abide by a basic standard for acceptable online behavior.
The guideline for use with any digital tool, and it's a preventative guideline, are you okay with what you're about to do with becoming public and permanent? If you stop and think that before you create anything socially on a digital tool, then you will never create a self-inflicted challenge for yourself.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.